It's Youth Sunday again here at Bowmansville, and I just invite you to come and worship with us. And one thing I'll say, we usually have pictures in the background of the words when you sing, and we're going to have that again this morning, and the pictures are pictures that the youth took when they were in Alaska. So we have a lot of gifted photographers, and these are their pictures, so...
Okay, let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you for the leaders that we do have here at Bowmansville, and I just pray your blessing over this offering. Bless the leaders that we have. Thank you for the guidance that they give to each one of us. And thank you for how good you are, as the song we just sang says. And we just ask you to guide us, direct us, help us get a closer relationship with you. That is the only way for us to get through this life. And we just pray all this to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
morning, and I just pray that you would be with Brian as he brings us your word.
My name is Clark Brubacher, and I'm the president of the youth group here at Bowmansville. The last time I spoke to you, we were preparing to go on our summer service project to Sutton, Alaska. Since we returned from Alaska, we have elected the next youth group committee that consists of me as president, Cameron Nault as the vice president, Katie Umble as secretary, Miles Richler and Eric Umble as the historians, Emma Musser as treasurer, and Maggie Martin and Tyler Ringler as the worship leaders. The mission statement of our youth group is nurturing tomorrow's church through fellowship with each other, serving others, and studying God's word. The goal of the youth group each month is to fellowship with each other, serve others, and study God's word. We accomplish that in July by doing community outreach, having a community cookout, and having daily devotions all while in Alaska. The last time I spoke to you, I asked you to pray for our trip to Alaska. Our trip went very well, and we had uneventful flights, and we also had safety while we worked. Please pray for the new committee as there are new members. Thank you for your support of the youth group.
Fun. So that was a little bit of some of the pictures that we have from Alaska. I think I saw I'm not sure if I'm looking at it right, but I think there was like 1,100 pictures or something that we took. And we're going to have a slideshow at a later date. We can't show them all on a Sunday morning, and we're not going to show all of them anyway. But at some point, we'd like to have some kind of slideshow, and we just have to get together on a date that suits the youth and the church is available. So that'll be coming up. Stay tuned for that. All right, so now it's time for the children's message. So you can come front for that. Why don't you sit over here? It looks like there's something over there. Sit over here. Over here, guys. Hey. Hey. Got a couple more yet? I think there's room.
Hey, how's it going?
Who was that? Did you guys hear that? Who said that?
It's me, your hand. How's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good. You know, I'm excited about Youth Sunday. I don't really know what all the youth are going to share, but I'm kind of excited to hear. So, what's new with you?
You know, hanging out at the end of the arm, grabbing stuff when the rest of the body needs something. The other day, the brain wanted to put a puzzle together, so I spent some time grabbing up puzzle pieces. It was going good, till the belly got hungry. And so, we needed to go get a snack. Here's where things get interesting. We stand up to walk out over to the kitchen, and apparently one of the feet was sleeping. The other foot, which was barely awake, tripped over Sleeping Beauty, and the whole body ate it. I declare, those feet are idiots. They are the dumbest part of the body.
Well, you know, that's not a very nice thing to say. We are all on the same team.
Well, it's true. They caused one of my fingers to be busted up.
Well, I'm sorry about your finger, but if the feet are so dumb, how did you get here this morning?
We drove, and I worked the steering wheel the whole way here.
So when you got here and parked, how'd you get in? And who worked the gas pedal and the brake pedal in the car?
The feet.
And when you walked in, who did that?
The feet.
And what happened the other day when we tried to show off and walk on our hands?
We fell and scuffed up our feet. Okay, so maybe you're right. Maybe the feet are important.
So do you think the feet are important too? The feet, the hands, all parts of the body are important. So I'm going to read from the Bible here. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 to 22. It says, our bodies have many parts, hands, feet, all kinds of parts. And God has put each just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it was only one part. Yeah, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, This is my favorite part of this. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest are actually the most important. So when the Bible talks about the body, what they're really talking about is us in any kind of team that we're working on, like the church. So if you're on a team, say you're on a baseball team and somebody strikes out, do you go up to them and say, oh, that was dumb. Why'd you strike out? That was stupid. No, you don't do that. That doesn't really help. What you want to do is encourage the people on your team. So God wants us to encourage each other and pray for each other and work together, just like the parts of the body. So I have some treats for you guys before you go back to where you came from. There's a bag full of body parts, chicken's feet. It's gummy chicken's feet, okay? And I'm pretty sure they're all awake. Maybe Clark can give the bag a little shake just to make sure all the feet are awake. Yeah, they're all awake. So you can grab a bag of gummy feet out of the bag as you go back to your parents. So I've said it before, and I'll say it again because it bears repeating. The strength of any group is really its diversity. So I have a little story about something that happened to us in Alaska that kind of illustrates that. I'll tell you that story. One of the days we stayed back at the camp and we had kind of like a little team building exercise, and our goal was to build a fire and to cook an egg and some toast and some bacon with only the material, well, not only, but with the materials that the guy that was running the activity gave us. Okay, so he gave us some matches and some paper, some fire starting material, and that was it. And we were supposed to cook an egg with this. And my group, we split up into groups, and my group had a trail life guy in it. And I thought, oh, this is great. We're going to be able to start a fire, no problem. And I was right. We started the fire. It went really good. And we also had someone else in our group that I see as someone who's going to be kind of a vision setter in the future that does a pretty good job with leadership. And I thought, oh, this is great. We're going to breeze through this. And what happened is I was right about the fire. We got the fire going. That went really good. And the guy who I see as kind of a pace setter or vision setter had a great idea. He said, hey, let's go into the kitchen and get a frying pan and put it over the fire to fry up our eggs. And that was a great idea. But our group lacked the people to actually go into the kitchen, which was like, I don't know, 300-400 feet away. We lacked the people to actually go into the kitchen, ask the kitchen staff for a frying pan, and get the frying pan. So we were kind of stuck with this nice fire. with an egg in still in its shell, and we were trying to cook this egg and the bread and the bacon, and it didn't go really good. We had good ideas and we had a good fire, but we didn't have the diversity of gifts that we needed to accomplish this goal. So your strength is in your diversity. And I can tell you, you can eat burnt toast, and I think you can eat a raw egg, or warm but pretty raw. But the bacon, I think we threw that in the river, if I remember right. We didn't eat the bacon. So it was salmon food. So in a little while, several of the youth and the adults that came along to Alaska are going to come up here and share about Alaska. But first, I have a question that I want to share with you that came to me this week. Before I say what that question is, I want to read Matthew 28, 19, and 20. This is familiar verses. It's known as the Great Commission. So I'm going to read it. Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey the commandments that I have given to you, and be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So that's a commandment from God, that we're supposed to go out into all the nations and make disciples. So here's the question. Is this, the Great Commission, is this the job of the church as a body, as a group? Or is it the job of the individuals in the church to go out and do this? Some things we do as a church, singing, worship, there's a lot of things that we do as a body, and there's other things that we kind of prepare individually at church to go out and do. So is this the job of the church, or is it the job of the individuals in the group? So when I was thinking about this question that came to me, the events that are recorded in Acts of the early church kind of came to my mind. So I'm going to read from Acts 2, 42 to 47. This talks about like the early church, like as soon as it was getting started. That's Acts 2, 42 to 47. So we're thinking about, is this Great Commission the job of the incorporated church, or is it the job of the individuals within the church? Verse 42, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, and they met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity. That sounds like a nice place to be. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those that were being saved. So I have a few phrases or words highlighted here in my Bible. Fellowship, this is what the church was doing at the time. Fellowship, prayer, sharing meals. They shared everything they had. Worship together, praising God. These are things that the church was doing. So if you look at these verses, it seems like maybe the answer to that question is, based on what the church was doing there, maybe it's kind of an individual thing and not a church thing, because most of those things are things that the church was doing together. Seems kind of like for the benefit of the church, worshiping or the benefit of God, but they were doing it together, sharing in meals, sharing everything they had, fellowship, and that kind of thing. So maybe the answer is that it's an individual thing, responsibility to go out and do that. So we'll get back to that question. Whose responsibility is that? We'll get back to that in a minute after the youth share about their time in Alaska. So I'm actually looking forward to hearing the youth share because I don't know what exactly they're going to say. So the way we're going to do this is when we were there in Alaska, they provided a daily devotion booklet for us, and it covered 7 days. And on the first day, we looked at being servant-hearted. The second day was encouragement. The third day was respecting others. Fourth day was veracity. And I had to look what that means. That means like integrity. And then initiative. And then now what? Like what are you going to do after this time in Alaska? And go. Go and make disciples. So maybe some of you picked this up. It took me a few days. But the first letter of each of those words spells serving. All right? I don't know if the youth picked that up right away or not. But so our devotion booklet gave us each of these words or phrases to look at each day, and they all came together to spell serving. So some of you are prepared to share about being servant-hearted. So if you're prepared to do that, you can come front now and share about being servant-hearted.
Okay, so from the devotion on servant-hearted, I found, like, what stuck out to me was that we're supposed to be kind to the people around us and help them out. So the one day I went with a couple people to this lady's house, or this couple's house, and we moved their shed. I didn't really know how that was going to work, but we took it apart and moved it and put it back together. And afterwards, they were just talking to us, and we went into her garage shed thing, and she was telling us about these dolls that she made, and it was just interesting to learn about how she makes them. Also kind of creepy with all her doll parts everywhere.
It was really cool for me to see just how people respond when you serve them and how it impacted them, so they're able to see Christ's love.
One of the things that we talked about was that as a leader, you need to also serve, and Jesus set the example of that when he washed his disciples' feet. Some of the ways that we were able to serve the community was in wood cutting, shoveling gravel, gardening, mowing, building, and painting.
Thanks, guys. So encourage is the next. That was servant-hearted, encourage. Who's prepared to share about encouraging?
So, my name's Joel, and this summer was like I graduated from the youth group, and so this was like the last youth trip that I was going to be going on, and it was pretty cool to go out with a bang. This was a pretty cool trip, talking to all the Alaska and Michigan people and seeing all the crazy views and stuff. It's pretty awesome. But anyway. Encouragement. So before every meal, someone prayed, and I don't like talking in front of people, and I don't like praying in front of people, but I was encouraged by some of the people in our youth group to pray before one of the meals, so that was kind of taking a step out of my circle, but yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Joel. I forgot to mention that there was another group there, and they were from Michigan, and we interacted with that group as well.
So over the whole week, I saw many instances of people encouraging others, but one example that stood out to me was when we had a community cookout, and a bunch of us were playing Nine Square with some of the younger kids from the community, and I noticed how everyone was very encouraging to those younger kids, especially when they sometimes had trouble hitting the ball or things like that, and everyone encourage them, and so we were able to have a fun time.
Thanks, guys. Okay, servant-hearted, encouragement, and respecting others. Who's ready to share about respecting others?
Morning. Oops. I felt like our group was very respected by Eagle Crest Alaska Missions and the staff there prior to coming and the whole time that we were there. Before we came, they gave us devotionals that Brian was able to use for Bible study, and they were praying for us when we got there, and it was evident from the start that they cared about our spiritual development more than our ability to get a lot of work done. And it was just really cool to have that experience where people valued us and respected us for who we are as children of God and not for the amount of work that we can get done as Mennonites. So yeah, they prioritized relationships with our group within our group, and we didn't work all day every day, but I think I've been on several summer service projects, and I can say that this is the most impactful summer service project that I've experienced as far as relationships and spiritual development. And it was just really cool to see how God was answering prayers. We prayed for unity and for relationships within our group to be strengthened, and for trust and vulnerability within our group. And we saw that happening all throughout the week. So it's an honor to be a part of this group and to see everyone stepping out in their own ways.
Yeah, for me, I was thinking about when we were doing our team building thing, one of the things we got to do was hatchet throwing, or axe throwing, whichever, but it's not really an axe. But anyway, we got to do that, and for most of us, I think it was our first time, but then most of the people, I don't know, it was trouble hitting the board, let's just say that. Well, if we can get a bullseye, that's just icing on the cake, but if we can stick it in the wood, that's all that really mattered. But we broke into five different teams, and we were also with the other group, the Michigan group. So we broke into five different teams, and we went through, I think, three times, and we were to keep score. And so, like, we went through our different teams, and it's like, oh, I had one, I had three, I had four, and so forth. And at the end, they said, okay, you know, the winners are all of yous, because there's, like, I don't know, 18 or something like that was the total number. And we're like, well, what? I thought we were playing against each other. And he's like, no, it's like in the church, there's many times that as different churches, we're doing different things together. And it's not about which church or which team can get the most. It's what can we do collectively as different teams working for the same goal. And it's the same thing in our walk with the Lord as well.
Yeah, thanks, Shane. There was two churches in town there in Sutton, and we went to the one for the service Sunday morning, and they've spoke very highly of the other church while we were there, and that was refreshing. We live in an area where there's bazillion churches in a small area, and I get the feel sometimes that we compete with each other, and we didn't feel that at all up there, so that was refreshing. Okay, serving, servant-hearted, encouraging, respecting others, veracity. Who's going to share about veracity? Or integrity, openness, honesty, veracity.
So like Brian said, veracity is about being open and honest with each other and also kind of speaking the truth. So on Wednesday, we had, like Shane said, team building activities. And one of them was we were split in groups and given a compass and a piece of paper that had these coordinates on it. And you were supposed to find all these different posts that would have a number on, and at the end there was a code, and then you would spell a word. And let's just say that I was very open and honest with my group, that I had no idea what I was doing. I couldn't read the compass. I didn't know where north was. I was the wrong place the whole time. So I was trusting that Ken, and I guess a little bit of Anne, kind of knew what they were doing and were going to the right post. So that was good.
So every night we had a campfire, and one of the ways that I saw veracity being used, we could all be open and honest with each other and just share about our days, and that was really cool.
Veracity was one word I didn't know until I got to Alaska, and I thought it sounded kind of cool. Maybe I should find out what it means. But just being open and honest and living with integrity and sharing what's really going on inside instead of just making it look good on the outside. So I think God spoke to me during the week that I think in my recent years here that I've been a lot more reserved about what I say, and sometimes that's a good thing. But I was trying to evaluate the reasons why I am reserved, and sometimes it's because it's not of general interest, the things that I think about other people don't care about, and sometimes it's because I was a leader in Bowmansville, and I don't want to make anyone else feel like they're not doing it the way I would have done it or something like that. But I guess I was convicted while I was up there that, you know, just being reserved to be reserved is not necessarily a good thing. So it's just my desire to be open and honest and share what's going on inside of me with all of you. So one of the things, another story from up there, Al was the guy we had worked for a couple of days. And Al was a Native American that grew up in Indiana, I think, and moved to Alaska. And he was a drummer. Al was 80 years old. His birthday was the week before he got there, but he was a drummer all of his life. And then his wrist got too bad that he couldn't drum anymore, so he went back to college at the age of 70 and became a concert pianist. So he plays piano in the local pizza shop on Sundays from 12 to 3. And he said that he plays old hymns and other things mixed in, but he said a lot of people come to the restaurant like with broken marriages that they have one weekend to have their child with them and they take them out to pizza. And he said it's just really something to be playing Amazing Grace and having this father and their daughter sitting there crying to the music as he's ministering to them. So just being open and honest, that was what he had to give. He gave to his community what he had. He was definitely an inspiration to work with, and that inspired me to be open and honest with what I have as well.
Okay, servant-hearted, encourage, respecting others, veracity, and initiative. I think we know what initiative means. We have some ready to share about initiative.
I'm sharing on behalf of Maggie Martin, who wasn't able to be here this morning. One of Maggie's highlights from the trip was some of the team building that we did on Wednesday on our free day. Like Nicole shared, we split into teams of four or five and did some orienteering, so we had to use a compass and get to the certain checkpoints and figure out the code. And that process required initiative. It seemed like an impossible task for those without much orienteering experience, which was most of us. But somebody in each group had to be the one to take initiative, whether to lead the rest of the group in the right direction or to teach others how to use a compass, or simply just to encourage others and make it a good, memorable time. So Maggie enjoys a good challenge, and with only one group completing this activity accurately, it was a challenge right up her alley.
When I returned, I looked at the website of Eagle Crest Alaska Missions just to see what it said on there, and they were emphasizing that their purpose is to empower individuals to become Christ-centered disciples in their world, and that was came through clearly in the plans for the week. They emphasized the devotions, also community with your own group and with the people in Sutton, and also they want you to experience Alaska's beauty through hiking and serving others. One of the things that stood out to me was, though we traveled to a different place in the world and met people for the first time, that they too had made Jesus the center of their life and God's word, and they studied it and they came up with the same conclusions. They had the same beliefs that we have here. And it's inspiring wherever I go that we can find people who understand who God is and his purposes. This trip again confirmed that when we step out in faith, offering ourselves to God and strive to make the most of every opportunity, that he is faithful and helps us in need. Being more experienced, which really just means I'm older, I could foresee challenges numerous times, some with our travel, with our flight schedule, sometimes with group dynamics, and sometimes actual potential danger. Initiative for me meant immediately begin praying for our group and the need that was at hand. And God again demonstrated his amazing grace and his faithfulness to us. So very thankful.
The group that I was with for a couple days was cutting and splitting wood for a guy, the pastor of the church there. And since he wanted to get it done, he took the initiative to tell us if we worked hard, he'd buy us pizza. And so the guys I was working with took the initiative to work hard so much that they accidentally stuck Tyler in the chipper. But his head's pretty hard, so then the next day the chipper broke.
So on Wednesday, we went hiking up to a glacier pond, and me and a few of the other guys were like way ahead of everyone, and we got there pretty early, and then we hung out there for a little bit, and then we were like, that looks like a cool mountain up there, we should climb the top of it. So we took the initiative to climb up there, and that was a good experience.
I'm glad you guys did that, and I'm glad you took the initiative to do that, and I'm glad I was at the back of the group, because that would have been scary for me to see these guys running out ahead on the touristy trail that leads up to this glacier pond, no problem. But then when you're up there, it's like in this valley in the top of the mountain, and there's places where they had to use their hands and feet to get up another several hundred feet to the top, and they did that without me being close, and I'm glad you guys did that. So, servant-hearted, encourage, respecting others, veracity, initiative. Now what? Who's prepared to share about that? So after this trip and after learning about serving, now what? Now what are you going to do?
So during our devotions for Now What, one of the questions that was raised is, how can you keep your Alaska experience from simply becoming just a good memory? One of the nights after our campfire session, we asked if we could meet within our small groups just to kind of have some debrief within our groups and to just chat with each other, pray with each other for the week. And the group of girls that I was with that week, I raised the question to them, what is something that when you think about going home, you're scared to come back home to? Or are you using this trip to kind of like escape from what is happening at home? And we had such an open-hearted conversation about things that were going on in our lives, things that we were struggling from. And I said to the girls, you know, these conversations don't just end here in Alaska. They will continue even after you come home. And that was one thing I was encouraging a lot of the youth, that, like, don't lose these connections that you have. Don't, like, make this just a memory that you're going to talk about in 7 years or even tomorrow. Like, keep these connections going, keep the conversations going, because they will last a lifetime.
Servant-hearted, encourage, respecting others, veracity, initiative, now what? And the last thing is go. Go away from here and make disciples and tell other people about Jesus. What are you going to do when you go from here? You guys that are prepared to share about that, come on up.
So the devotional for the day was focused on go, and it focused on the Great Commission and how we're called to help the poor and people in need. And they really drove home the point that it doesn't matter if you're in Alaska or Pennsylvania, you can still impact the people, and it doesn't have to be a grand trip.
So I didn't really know what I was going to do until I stepped up here, so we'll see how this goes. So I think that, so when I was in Alaska, we did a bunch of serving stuff for people. And there was one trip that we went serving for this lady and helped her stack firewood. At first I was like, oh great, we're stacking firewood. I was like, oh, you gotta bend down, grab the logs, put it on, set it up and stuff. But then I was like, you know what, this actually isn't that bad. And I actually kind of really enjoy this. So I think going from Alaska to Pennsylvania, I think I'm going to start to do more serving than I did before I went to Alaska. I can see my mom when she gets home, right away. All this stuff that Tyler's going to do tomorrow, like all this. Yeah, okay.
All right, guys, thanks for sharing it. It was encouraging for me. It was encouraging for me to hear what you guys had to say about that. So getting back to that question, is the Great Commission the job of the corporate church, or is it the job of the individuals? And from what we read in Acts, it looks like maybe the church, some of the phrases and words, sharing in meals, fellowship, shared everything they had, worshiped together. It looks like maybe the church is doing other stuff. But if you read on in Acts, the next couple of pages, you'll read about an instance where Peter and John, they're going along, and there's this crippled guy that they heal. And when they did that, it kind of made a bit of a ruckus. It kind of caught the eye of the priests and the Sadducees. And they grabbed the temple guard and approached Peter and John, and they didn't like the way they did it. So they threw them in jail, and it kind of made this big deal where it was kind of in the public eye. And that's kind of what started, it started this chain of events that kind of started persecution in the early church. And I believe that the early church was doing good things, worshiping together and eating meals together and fellowshipping together. Those are important things. But God used persecution as a tool to get the church out of just Jerusalem and spreading out into the surrounding areas. So, is the Great Commission the responsibility of the church or the individuals in the church? Well, maybe both is the answer. So, in closing, I'd just like to say that I think the summer service project to Alaska here was given to Bowmansville as an opportunity, not just the youth group, but I think it was given to Bowmansville as an opportunity to go and make disciples. I think God kind of put that on our lap as a tool for us to use as a church. So not only did the youth group go and help Eagle Crest with firewood, moving sheds, all the different things that we did, and they provide a place in the community for the youth in the community to come in and have Bible lessons and activities and things. So not only did we go and help facilitate that, but you guys had the opportunity as the church to share with us in that through some of you came in and talked about, some of you have experience in Alaska and you came and talked to us a little bit about what to expect in Alaska. Some of you talked about what to expect while traveling to Alaska, and that was much appreciated. Several of you helped financially. I know that parents of the youth, a lot of you probably paid for your youth to go. You were able to help financially. Several of you participated in the many fundraisers that we had, came to the Valentine's banquet, bought our soup. I don't think anybody went blind from our soup. Ate baked potatoes at the baked potato bar. And so we appreciate you guys helping us in those ways. And most importantly, behind me in the room behind me, there was a paper in there, a piece of poster board with 25 names on it of all the youth and the people that were going to Alaska, and a spot beside them for you to sign up to pray for them individually. And everybody had somebody praying for them, and some people had more than one person praying for them. And some of you, I think, were praying for people that you barely even know. So I thank you for that. We really felt your prayers when we were there. So I think God gave this trip to Bowmansville as a tool so that we could corporately work together to accomplish the Great Commission. So there's one other thing I'd like to say, kind of a tangible thing that happened in Alaska. It's worth saying. So a lot of good things happen in youth group, but I think one of the best things is that one of the things I like to stress anyway is that teenagers learn what it means to give up, to give sacrificially to the point where it hurts a little bit. So when we talk about that as adults, my mind anyway, kind of goes to money, to giving up your money, to give sacrificially. But teenagers don't have a lot of money to give that way. But what they do have a lot of is they have a lot of time. And even though they have, probably most of them have more time than adults do, it's not any harder to give it up. There's a lot of things they can be doing, some good and some bad, but a lot of things are pulling at their time. And so several weeks ago, as we always do, sometime in July, we have nominations in the youth group. And we nominate those that are regular attenders of the youth group to take one of the six different positions on the committee in the youth group. And so that happened several weeks ago. And then we have a time of discernment where they can think about if they want to accept the nominations. And that means giving up their time. A lot of them, it's fun to be part of the youth group. But some of them, you know, there's other things that they'd rather be doing. And when they take part in a youth group committee or going to youth group stuff, they're sacrificially giving up of their time. And during this time of discernment, we were in Alaska, and we had events leading up to this trip. And the results of the discernment were that we had more youth accept nominations than we had spots on the committee, which was the first time that that ever happened that I'm helping with the youth group. So I want to praise God for that, and that's kind of a tangible thing that we can recognize that God helped with. So thank you guys for all your support and going to Alaska and for doing it through the church like this, and thank you, youth, for giving up your time to be part of the group. So let's pray. God, I just thank you for your church and for Jesus and what he did for us, and thank you for this time that we were able to spend in Alaska, and I pray that it just, like Amanda said, it just doesn't just become a good memory, but that we can take what we learned and use it to go and make disciples. In Jesus' name, amen.